Good day and welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 22nd, 2020. This is a special episode as we focus on new information on the United Kingdom variant of SARS-CoV-2. The variant keeps popping up in more and more places with increasing frequency. There is also significant misinformation out there about the vaccine and the virus. For the latest on this, we now turn to Dr. Henry Nyman.
Okay, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, I thought it'd be useful to talk about this variant. It's becoming an increasing problem, and there is a lot of misinformation out there. The likely source of some of this activity is probably from immunosuppressed patients that are basically treated with convalescent antisera and remdesivir and end up with a persistent type of infection or a recurring infection. And they end up selecting for essentially escape mutants, which are mutations that allow them to evade the immune response in the convalescent antisera. So the idea that, oh, these viruses aren't going to affect the vaccine are at best highly speculative, but not really based on anything theoretical or actual. There hasn't been any testing done. The companies that have made the two vaccines that are approved in the U.S., Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech are basically saying, well, they're going to check it out and they'll have results in a couple of weeks. Or until they get some actual data, saying, well, these are little changes. Sometimes they're almost referred to one change when there really are 10 changes in the spike protein. And even the changes outside of the spike protein, I mean, the one that's causing the most concern, actually pretty much inactivates the open reading frame number 8, which in the past was called ORF8, and now it's called NSB8. It's the same gene that had a 29 nucleotide deletion in SARS, which was the common feature on almost all the international isolates, because they all came from one physician who came to Hong Kong for a wedding and stayed at the Metropole Hotel. And he had a 29 nucleotide deletion in ORF8, and that inactivated the protein. And the same thing's happening now, where there's a termination codon that basically greatly truncates the protein and pretty much inactivates it. And so you got changes outside of the spike protein and a bunch of changes in the spike protein. And the common theme is that there's deletions in the spike protein, which is another way that evasion of the immune response may be happening. And there's changes in the receptor binding domain. So those changes alone raise concerns that the vaccine will not work as well. And then the reports are that the titers are higher, so the virus is spreading more efficiently. And it's doing in England, by most clearly in London, as it did in New York. And this is actually the same lineage that led to the outbreak, the major initial outbreaks in the United States. And before that, it was the outbreak in northern Italy, and I refer to it as the Italian strain. And it basically had one change that seemed to affect how well it transmitted, And I put out warnings when it was showing up in New York because the frequency of this particular lineage in New York kept getting higher and higher. I mean, it started out relatively high. There were other lineages that were the first ones identified in the state of New York, but the sequences coming out of the hospitals were, this 614 thing. And that's what this virus is, essentially. This Italian strain that's evolved further, and it's got all of these additional changes, and these additional changes are creating, some major problems. So it was also called the G clade because the D at position 614 changed to a G. And now some of the designations are, this is the 501 clade because position 501 changes from an N to a Y. But it's got literally, besides the N501Y, and the D614G changes, there are eight other changes, three of which are deletion. So it's got deletions at position 69 and 70, and it's got a deletion at 145. But that's in addition to the deletions in the NS. C6, which has got three additional deletions there. So it's got a lot of changes, and that's kind of what happened with the case that was written up in the New England Journal of Medicine. That case also had three deletions in the spike protein at positions 141, 142, and 143. And then it had a series of receptor binding domain changes that included Q493K, T478K. But the key one was that it developed the same change at position 501. It developed the N501Y. And it started out just as the Italian strain. So it started out by just having the one change, and then it picked up additional receptor binding domain changes and these deletions. And then it ended up picking up the 501. And this happened over a long time period. I mean, he was initially seen in April, and he just had a G. And he came back in June, and he picked up these additional deletions and a couple of the receptor binding domain changes. And then in August, he picked up the 501K. N501Y. And that was first seen on August 16th, and he ended up improving, and he was released briefly in mid-August, and by the end of August, he was back. He was back on August 31st, and he ended up dying in early September. So once he got the N501Y, he was dead in less than a month. And but he had been going back and forth. He had been released, and then he ended up going back into the hospital. And this went on for many, many months. He was receiving convalescent Anacera and dexamethasone. Well, I don't know if he got dexamethasone, but remdesivir And then he ended up getting the Regeneron monoclonal antibody cocktail towards the end in September, but he ended up dying. Anyway, his titer his antibody levels went up when he picked up the 501, the N501K. And so he was, you know, literally incubating various escape mutants, and they were developed after he was sent home. And so there was the opportunity for that to transmit. And literally he was, he was initially positive in April, and he died in September, but, he went from the spike protein went from just having D614G to having a whole slew of receptor binding domain and deletions, and that's generally what the variant in the UK looks like. It has the two deletions that was in the mink in position 69 and 70. And it also has this one additional change at 145, additional deletion. And it has the other deletion in the NSP 6. I think I said 3 earlier. It's actually in 6. And it's a major problem. There are sequences showing it's spreading. So in addition to a very high number, literally over 1,000 sequences from the UK, I believe they're up to 9 now from Denmark. And there's also a couple sequences from Australia, and sequence from Italy, sequence from Gibraltar. This morning there were 2 more sequences from the Netherlands that has this change, and it's just continually increasing. And then this morning there was a sequence from Singapore. Now, Singapore sequence was interesting because it didn't have the 3 deletions in the NSP6, but it did have mutations in 2 of the amino acids that were normally deleted. And these types of changes are consistent with recombination. You're picking up these deletions, and they come and they go. And another one that was released this morning only had 2 of the 3 deletions. The one from Singapore just had 2 of the 3 deletions in the spike protein. And so, again, there's a lot of variation. I'm sorry, that wasn't Singapore. That was from London that had 2 out of the 3. So a London sequence was missing 1 of the deletions in the spike protein. So there's a lot of variation. And that indicates there's a lot of recombination, which indicates there's a high concentration of the virus. People are infected with 2 versions, whether they're healthy people or whether they're immunosuppressed people. It gives an opportunity for recombination and mixing and matching of these deletions. So you have different combinations that are showing up and spreading. The fact that the number of sequences from different countries is growing, and that there's now 3 that are, you know, not even in Europe, you know, 2 in Australia and 1 in Singapore, and you've got multiple countries in Europe, in Iceland, and although that sequences now, so the two sequences from the Netherlands just came out today. So there are sequences from the Netherlands, Gibraltar, Australia, and Denmark, in addition to multiple locations in the UK. And then it's rumored to be in Iceland, speculated to be in France, and I guess before this afternoon it was rumored to be in the Netherlands, but now that's been confirmed. So the multiple countries, as well as the fact that this has been at relatively high levels in the UK now for a couple of months, suggests it's very widespread. It's almost certainly in the U.S. The U.S. hasn't reported any sequences yet, but that says more about how many sequences are being generated in the U.S., especially on the East Coast. It seems likely that it would come into New York from London, just like the Italian strain came into New York from Italy. It's a landing zone, if you will, for travelers from Europe. And the fact that it's been fairly widespread in England for for November and December, and earliest cases were probably towards the end of October. It's likely that some of those people were infected and didn't know it. They were asymptomatic and they came to the U.S. and they infected somebody while they were asymptomatic, or they were pre-symptomatic and then developed symptoms when they got here. Is very likely. And the hallmark of this particular virus is that it transmits very efficiently. It seems to be able to infect children and young adults and without pre-existing condition who are ended up in the hospital. And it's a major problem. And so lots of countries have issued bans on travel from the UK. Some are easing up, saying that we'll accept travelers from the UK as long as they have evidence that they tested negative for the virus. And they're going to try to tighten up, but this is yet another example of closing the barn door after the horses are already out. That there's little, there's examples, there's sequences that show the virus is no longer contained to England, is no longer contained to Europe. And if it can go from Europe to Singapore and Australia, it could go anywhere in the world, including the U.S. So the idea that, banning travel is going to keep the virus out of the U.S. after it's in the U.S. and it transmits well is just folly. That it's it transmits more easily, and the frequency of the virus in sequences from the U.K. goes up by the day, and it's behaving just like it did in New York. That those sequences kept going up, and it was 90-some-odd% of the sequences that were coming out of the cases in New York were the Italian strain, and now it has these extra changes, and now the Italian strain is now the UK variant, and the frequency of the sequences out of the UK that are the variant are becoming increasingly higher, and we'll be approaching 100% probably by the beginning of next year, by sometime in January. The only thing they'll be seeing in England is going to be this particular variant, and it's going to follow suit in other countries. So just to wrap up, basically this virus is in multiple countries. It's been confirmed by sequence in many of these countries. And there are other versions that have this change in position 501. It was there without a lot of changes in Wales. There's now another version that's in South Africa that has the N501Y with a couple other receptor binding domain changes in South Africa. It seems to be predominantly affecting younger people. There's concern in the UK that it's going to get into the schools and they really need to vaccinate students before they send them back to school after holiday break. They probably don't have enough vaccine to really do that yet. And so the vaccine is essentially trailing the virus, but the virus is evolving away from the vaccine because it's evolving away from convalescent antisera used on some of these immunosuppressed patients. And the statement says probably not going to affect the vaccine are wild speculation based on pretty much nothing. And until there's actually testing done to see how well the current vaccine works against this virus with three deletions and seven other non-synonymous changes in the spike protein, really need some hard data where the virus is actually tested against this. The antisera is tested against the virus, which is what's done with flu. I mean, flu is routinely monitored by the ability of the existing vaccine to neutralize the new isolate. And that's what needs to be done here, that the argument is the vaccine has all these neutralizing antibodies to be able to set up an assay and say, this is how well the vaccine neutralizes the original strain, which is the Wuhan strain. It's not even the Italian strain. And then what the titer is against the Italian strain, which is everywhere now. I mean, the Italian strain has essentially taken over the world. And how well does it work against the Italian strain with these additional mutations and deletions that make it this UK variant? And what's the titer there? And when you have titer numbers, what it is against the target that it started with, and what it is against the viruses all over the world now, and what it is against the variant of the virus all over the world that's in England plus many, many countries, of which I've named some that have actually release sequences, then you'll have a good idea how well the vaccine is going to work. And there will probably be variations with age, that older people are protected against the virus that was circulating when they did the trial and got the results, but how well it's protected against the variant. It remains to be seen. I mean, it will be seen. I mean, there are people getting the Pfizer vaccine already in the UK, and they haven't got their second shot yet, and they won't get their second shot for several weeks. But a month or two from now, those people should be fully vaccinated, and none of them are getting infected by the variant. Well, then that'd be great, and that would indicate that this speculation that a few changes isn't going to affect the vaccine would be accurate. But it's well known that it doesn't take a whole lot. It's just key mutations, and that the virus kind of evolved and emerged from immunosuppressed patients that were being treated with convalescent antisera, then it very well may be the selective number of changes it needs to evade or escape from those antibodies. And if it does that, then it'll probably escape from the vaccine, because the vaccine is essentially, is the original sequence. It's a sequence from Wuhan. It's before it picked up the change that created the Italian strain, and it's before all these additional mutations were tacked on top of the Italian strain to come up with the UK variant. We'll keep an eye on it. Like I say, the sequences are popping up. Literally today, the Singapore sequence came out and two Netherlands sequences came out, and those were the first publicly available sequences, anyway, from those two countries. And I would expect more to come out on a regular basis, including the U.S. So that's it for now.
Thank you for that information. That's it for this edition. Tune in for the latest updates on the Fulming pandemic. Have a nice day, and thank you for listening.